Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and we are rip, roaring, and ready to go. So that being said, I'm super excited for today's special guest. Recently wrote a book that's going to be getting released, but the fun part about this is I was flipping through it this morning. There is a lot of humor in this, and we're going to have fun with this. What am I trying to think here? Just with the whole book. So that being said, Kyle, are you roaring and ready to go, my friend?
I am.
All right. So, Kyle, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, like who you are, what you do, maybe something about your family, and let's hear it, man. Let's hear about Kyle.
Yeah, I'm the editor-in-chief of the Babylon Bee, so I write a lot of satire. I edit and publish a lot of satire on the Babylon Bee every day. Work from home, so I spend a lot of time with my family. I got three boys, and you'll probably see them running around here, and yeah, you'll probably hear them running around.
They're going to be an addition to the show
at any point. But I got my three boys and my wife, and we have a lot of fun. So I was in the construction industry until just recently, and I kind of quit and was able to do the Babylon Bee full time. So it's been a lot of fun making that transition. It's been a real challenge making that transition, but it's been good. You know, it's been for the better overall.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's dive into a little bit of back history. Where I talk a lot about purpose on the show, like coming into that purpose changes. I think it's a stepping stone of careers. I like the fact that you talk about you just came out of the construction industry and you're doing that full time. Why don't you talk a little bit about maybe your gifts and talents and then how you kind of made that transition going from construction into writing?
Yeah, you know, construction is such a high pressure industry and such a tense industry.
I'm laughing because if I told you the amount of stress I deal with at a daily level, most people would like pass out.
And everybody's always mad all the time, you know. So it was something where I was in positions all the time where, you know, you just get screamed at, you know, even if it's not your fault or whatever, you know, and then you have to kind of have that tough attitude on everybody else, you know, in your industry. And yeah, and the people that are yelling at you are mad if you're not yelling at somebody else, you know, to get something done. And so being a Christian in the construction industry was crazy because you're trying to treat people with respect, and you're trying to, you know, and you want to feel like you're making a difference. You want to feel like you're doing something good, you know, for people, and you're making a difference and you are in construction, but at the same time, it was so challenging for me to, you know, maintain a good attitude all the time. So it was a real stretching, you know, time for me to try to do that. So, when the Babylon Bee came along a couple of years ago, I just started writing for it part time, and I would email in three or four articles a day, just you know, and it was just something where it was such a fun release for me to write about something that I loved and to write a, you know, comedy and satire that hopefully was impactful and fun to write.
So Kyle, back up real quick because I want to get into this. When you, tell me a little bit about your writing background, because have you always been a writer, or is that something like you just thought, hey, I want to try this out or do it, or how did that come about?
Yeah, I wasn't really a writer for long before that. Maybe 4 or 5 years before that, I started writing just for like video game news sites, and I would do like little reviews and stuff like that. So I had a couple good positions there where I would write. I would come home from work and write, you know, for an hour or so, some news articles, little sites like that.
And so you just enjoy it. It's just naturally inside of you. It just comes out, and it's kind of a release for fun for you.
Yeah. I guess if you asked me what I wanted to do with my life, you know, 10 years ago, I would never would have said writer, but, you know, I definitely have always enjoyed the creative process, you know, whatever that looks like. So,
okay. Yeah. So you started writing and, you started turning in. So we'll back up and go back into the B. So you just started writing, like sending articles in, you said sometimes 3 or 4 a day.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would just kind of, you know, I think when he first launched, when Adam Ford, who's the founder of the site, when he launched it back in March of 2016, he was kind of asking for submissions, you know, and he didn't really have a solid like pipeline or a stable of writers when he started. He said, you know, he saw this big market for kind of Christian satire, you know, because they're basically, there's The Onion, and then there's a couple other little niche sites, but there wasn't really much out there that, you know, that was really addressing things from a Christian perspective. So he, when he launched it, he had a couple of big names in the Christian world that sent him like 1 or 2 articles. And then, he kind of launched with 12 articles up, or 24 articles up maybe. And then he opened it up for submissions. So I followed him from his little whip comic that he does. And I started emailing him at the little open submissions inbox. And now, you know, I have access to that inbox now. And for the most part, it's like people just send stuff all day long. You know, it's just stream of thought. Like a lot of people just, they don't really know what a good, tight, you know, satirical headline looks like. And so you just get this, I'm trying to be nice here, but you get this just junk email to you all day long. And, you know, once in a while we use a reader idea that's pretty good, but for the most part, people don't really get it. So when I sent him, and I kind of got what he was trying to do, I'm like, okay, this is like, it's similar to The Onion in structure. You're trying to get that snappy little headline, and you want it to say something meaningful if you can, or just do something funny if you want. And so I just started sending him articles, and he was like, well, you know, like just the fact that I was sending ones that were decent, you know, in some kind of quantity. So that's all, that was the standard, was, you know, it wasn't terrible, I guess.
So why don't you kind of dig into that as far as the process of what that looked like in building kind of that relationship, and then making that switch into what you're doing now? Because what I think is really cool about it is I think a lot of people have gifts or dreams that are inside of them that they want to, they maybe don't even know. Like you said, you just started writing and then it just kind of forms into something. But I think a lot of times people give up before they ever have the opportunity to really step into it. I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase, or people talk about 3 feet from gold. And it's like, you're kind of like right there, but a lot of people just give up right before they hit it. And it sounds like for you, you basically hit it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that's accurate, that, you know, if you look back, you know, of course, now being a writer, being someone who does creative stuff, I look back on my life up to this point, and I'm kind of like, yeah, this is obviously what I was meant to do. You know, this is obviously what everything that I did, you know, even through being in the construction industry, you know, writing about video games, just, you know, everything that I did as a kid and stuff, everything I loved to do and enjoyed to do, you know, kind of has come to the surface to where, like, yes, this is my passion, you know, and I wouldn't have known what it was until I started doing it.
So as you started doing that, talk about a little bit of the process of like how, just basically how you made that transition. So you started writing, started submitting articles, and then what happened?
Yeah. And it was, I was at a point in my career in the construction industry where I had kind of gotten to a really high position in my company. You know, things were going really well. The construction industry has just been booming, you know, obviously over the past 6 or 7 years, it's been just going up and up and up. So it was really good for us, you know, financially and as far as a career, it was everything that people would want. But I wasn't happy at all.
Like, yeah,
I was not happy. Like, it was just, I was miserable. I would just come home and it'd just be, you know, I would kind of check out, you know, I was trying to spend time with my kids, and it's just, you're just out of it, you know. But you know, I had some good things in my life, and we had a good church that we were involved in, and I was writing, and that was always kind of a, a little ray of sunshine, you know, in my day, being able to sit back for an hour and think of things to write about and then enjoy that it was actually getting traction and people were reading what we were writing. And so it was such a, it was, and so right from the beginning, I was talking to Adam, I'm like, well, what do I got to do to start doing this, you know, all the time? Cause I would be very happy to do that. So we just kind of played the waiting game on it. And, you know, we didn't want to force anything and we didn't want to jump into anything that we weren't ready for. So it was about 2 years of doing that, writing part-time in the midst of, you know, crazy stuff going on at work. And when finally the opportunity arose where I could, you know, do it. And Adam was stepping away from the Babylon Bee a little bit. And so kind of hit what he was doing, all the daily editing and some writing. You know, kind of became an open position, and having written for the site for so long, I was kind of like, you know, do you want it? Because you're the only guy who can run it, really. You know, you're the only guy who knows what goes on behind it. So it was a very natural transition where, you know, we didn't force anything. I think that's important. Is if you're trying to make that kind of transition, is you know, make sure you're ready for it and make sure you're ready to make that jump, and don't force it. I think it's easy to go like, when I first started writing, like, yep, this is it. This is what I want to do. And then it probably would have been faster, you know?
Yes. And I've heard a lot of people doing that, feeling like they'll say, man, I'm miserable at my job. I hate it. And I want to do this. And then they make the transition, and then they might even be called to that. And that's maybe what they should do, but they did it so early that what ends up happening, it just completely flops and they end up back where they started, but just 10 times more discouraged.
Yeah. And you got to realize, I mean, it's a job still, you know, even if it's your passion, it's you know, it's totally a job. It's something where if you're unhappy in your previous job, you're going to be unhappy at your new job sometimes, you know? So learn how to be a happy, content worker. And then if you're doing what your passion is, you're going to love it.
I love that you said that. Okay. So I do want to jump into your book. I did thumb through quite a bit of it this morning. I love the humor. So I'm assuming that's why obviously you guys get so much traction. So the name of the book is, for our listeners, is How to Be a Perfect Christian. And, you know what? I forgot about this. You're working with Waterbrook in Multnomah, which I love them. So listeners, the one cool thing, that Kyle's publishing company does is if you guys will email us, get on Facebook and, post our content and repost this interview, and then ask for a book. They will send up to a certain number of books, which they're really cool about, promoting their author. So I love that about, company you're working with. So shout out to them. Okay. So let's dive into How to Be a Perfect Christian. For those of you that can't see the front cover, it's hilarious. The best way I can explain it is a 1950s, well-dressed guy, with a very sarcastic smile on his face. It says How to Be a Perfect Christian. I love that, especially for today's culture. So, Kyle, why don't you dive into the book, just kind of the backdrop of why you came up with this and why you started it?
Yeah, we were kind of looking for the next big project for the Babylon Bee. I think it was about a year after it launched. It was kind of going crazy within Christian circles. It was starting to get some wider reach outside of that. And we kind of said, well, what do we want to do next? And we came up with a few ideas for projects and things to work on. And the book was kind of the obvious choice for us. You know, we put out mostly written content, almost entirely written content, on the internet, which is, you know, it's really rare for a website to launch nowadays with just written content and just write stuff and people just sharing it, enjoying it. And you're following it just because of the strength of the content. You know, we weren't advertising it or doing anything like that. And it just went nuts because it was obviously things that people wanted to read, and we were saying things that people wanted to share and wanted to be said, you know, things that maybe that other people wanted to say, but nobody was saying. And so a book for us was something that would seem like an obvious choice. So we kind of, I actually flew out and met Adam for the first time about a year after I was writing for him. I flew out to his house. We hung out for a weekend and we came up with the basic outline for the book. And then we just started pitching it to publishers and eventually landed with Multnomah.
I love that. So dive into, I want to talk about the book in Perfect Christianity, How to Be a Perfect Christian. So what is kind of, I think a lot of times we write about stuff, or maybe it's stuff that's been submitted to you that kind of hits a little bit of a sore spot. And then we're able to find sarcasm in that because, and I'm just speaking from personal experience, so you're welcome to correct me if I'm wrong by all means. But I think a lot of times it's an overexpression of maybe stuff that just annoys us or that it's a sore spot and it's not being addressed. That's kind of what I get out of some of these things as I read them. So why don't you talk about that maybe for you or your backdrop in church or things like that? And I think this is a perfect time, and I'll tell you why. And for our listeners, if you go back to maybe two episodes, three episodes, I interviewed Brad McClendon, who's a prophetic guy out of Carolina and the Carolinas. And we talked about just how church is changing and what that looks like for the future of the church. And so it's a great interview. You should, if you get a chance, listen to that. But I think it's a great segue for some of the sarcasm that's in this book.
Yeah. It's definitely, like you said, it's things that are, you know, sore spots, you know, and stuff that a lot of people within the church all across the country and even around the world were dealing with, you know, we tried to hit it from a satirical angle. So kind of the structure of the book is this idea that, you know, hey, you want to be a Christian and you want to be a perfect Christian. So all you have to do is, you know, just read these 10 quick, easy steps. And you can be, you know, you can be completely immersed in Christian culture and you can be accepted and loved by everybody and your pastor will love you and you'll be perfect, you know?
Yeah.
So even on its face, the structure is kind of a parody of your typical self-help, you know, Christian book. That's, you know, all you have to do is this and, you know, this is the key to everything. And those of us living the Christian life know that that's not, you know, like that's not even possible,
right?
Not possible to attain that kind of perfection on this earth, and it's not possible, especially to do it with this kind of like 10 easy step format, you know. But yeah, you're right. It's things that in Christian culture that we see, and that, you know, I observed, and that Adam observed, and then, you know, it was amazing, you know, the response to both the book and our website and the stuff we talk about, where people are like, yeah, totally, you know, our church does that too, like, you know, or this is something that we've seen in our church too, you know. And it wasn't something where we're like cynically looking online for what are the main things that people don't like in church, you know.
Right.
This is just organic stuff that we're observing and wanting to comment on, and it really, really resonated with a lot of people.
So I'm going to jump into chapter 2 real quick because it's funny, and it says worship like a pro. And I love that you quoted the Apostle Paul all the way back a couple thousand years. Apostle Paul said, now throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. So I got to love that. So talk about, so what does it look like to worship like a pro?
Yeah, I think in that chapter we were kind of going over what it is to be in a modern church worship service. So kind of in the beginning of the book, we start out and say, well, you want to be a Christian, you got to find the right church. And here's how you do that. You you go online and you find the church that's going to serve your needs the best. And, you know, a church where you don't have to do anything. And the pastor just does all the work for you, you know. Satirically, we kind of set that up. And then in that worship chapter, it's like, we kind of walk through like the modern worship service, you know. Here's all the landmarks of all the hallmarks of a modern church service, you know.
So dive into that. What's and you and I could have fun with this. So what yeah. Does a modern church service look like? Because I bet you I could say it without you even say it, but I'd love to hear.
Well, absolutely. It's definitely, you know, it's a send up of all those silly things that we do. Yeah, we talk about how, you know, you drive to church and you have to make sure that all fights inside your family van stop before you enter the parking lot, because you're at church now and you have to look happy. You know, you walk in and you talk to the welcome team, and, you know, they tell you, you know, they ask you how you're doing and you have to say fine. You
know, doing great.
I think we've got a chart, you know, how you're actually doing and then welcome team asking, you know, appropriate response to the welcome team asking how you're doing. So it's like, you had a really bad week at work. The appropriate response is fine, you know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, no matter what, the answer's fine. And then you kind of get into the worship service, and we talk about, you know, you look at the church, it's got the coffee shop, they've got the bookstore. So we kind of poke some fun at those elements. And then in the worship service itself, you know, we talk about that's kind of the big part of that chapter is the worship service, how, you know, you've got the fog and you got the fog machine and the lights and the lasers and the 10-piece band playing the perfect songs at an unreasonably loud volume, you know, on stage. And so we make a lot of fun of that. And we had a lot of fun doing that because, you know, any of us that have been to kind of one of the big, you know, really well-produced worship services can relate to that.
So let me ask you this. So for some people, they would say, well, man, I go to a church like that and I love it. And they're like, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. What do you find, like, from your readers and your listeners, of people reaching out to you, like, what is the sore spot about that? I want to dig a little deeper behind that, because I hear the sarcasm and I get it, but for some people, they're going to say, well, that's not my experience. And other people are listening and saying, man, I know exactly what he's saying right now. So let's kind of like peel just a little bit deeper into that. Like, with a lack of a better word, I'm just going to say the BS behind it. And why that is.
BS is a cuss word, so I won't be responding to that.
Okay. Well, okay, show's over. It's good talking to you, Kyle.
No, I'm just kidding. Satire is unique because not everybody gets satire, but that's okay. Like, satire has a very specific audience. And a lot of the problem with writing satire online is that you can't really control your audience. You know, back in the day, there was an old Christian publication called the Wittenberg Door that did Christian satire, you know, kind of similar to what we do. And the people who had it were people that had a great sense of humor, you know, and enjoyed a little bit of offbeat, off-color humor about the church and theology and stuff. And so they would subscribe to it and they would get the magazine and they would laugh about it. And you didn't have like what we have nowadays where we do something about, you know, a mega church. We make fun of a mega church and people that read the Babylon Bee get it and laugh and move on, you know? And the problem is that then they share it and then their grandma gets upset about it, you know? And so that's what we see a lot. It's like the people who, even if someone does go to a church like that, you know, they go to a big mega church, you know, we're not saying there's anything inherently wrong with that. What satire does is it makes fun of the extremes, you know, so that to kind of make you retrospective, you know, or introspective, I guess, and say are we going too far with this or not? And if you're not, and you're fine with how your church is doing things, then you can laugh at the satire and go, oh, okay, that's funny. You know, our church does stuff like that. This is totally our church, you know, and share it. And then people laugh about it. If you're offended by it, then you need to ask yourself, okay, why am I offended by this? Like, is this something that maybe, you know, this is a place that maybe our church is going too far with something, you know, and that's why I'm upset. Or maybe satire is just not for you and you can't take a joke. That's all right. You know, then stop reading it. You know?
And that's okay too.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious for your readers and stuff that jump on, has that been, do you get like emails that are therapeutic in sense for people? Because obviously they're going through a hard time and then they read something like that and it just is able to help them get through a hard time, say with where they're at in their walk or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, once in a while we'll get a great email from someone that's just like, it's actually amazing to me that, you know, the Babylon Bee has grown in popularity so much over the past couple of years. And we still get emails from like people that are knee deep in Christian culture, like pastors or, you know, worship leaders or whatever. And they're like, dude, I just found your website. You know, like I've never heard of you guys before. This is amazing. I've spent all morning, you know, clicking through and just laughing. And I really needed that laugh. And so that's what we love is when someone's like, I've been so, you know, jaded by the Christian experience in modern America, you know, and just being able to read through your site, it's like, oh man, it's just a breath of fresh air. So we're really, really happy when, at someone's able to do that.
So I want to ask you this. Like I was just thinking about your shirt. Our listeners can't see it right now, but it says fake news at the top, which I thought was hilarious. I see the B. I like it.
Yeah. It's fake news. You can trust.
I love it. Fake news. You can trust. Great shirt. So what I want to kind of dive into is obviously people are reading this and they're getting a kick out of it because it is a source of pain for people. I think for some, that's why they get on there and they're able to laugh because they're able to see like, yes, this does go on. I don't even know the word I'm looking for right now. I'm just trying to even think through my thoughts because this is unscripted. I'm not going off my notes, but just kind of what people are feeling, because you talk about people getting burnt from their Christian experience and you guys are writing about that, but that's never what Christ intended. I mean, you know, the first scripture that I think of, it says that his burden is easy and his yoke is light. And I think the church has made it, and I'm talking about not all churches, so people don't get your feelings hurt, but I'm just saying is a culture. And what do you see, like, for maybe you guys or some of your listeners are like, people are saying, it's like, man, I love Jesus and I love God and stuff, but man, this just, it's almost like, as I read through your book, it's almost like as a culture, we've put on a yoke that's heavy for people to carry. And it was never intended to be that way. I mean, I'm just curious your thoughts on that as you write some of this stuff.
Yeah, that was, you know, when we decided to write a book, we could have picked any number of targets, you know, for our satire, because there's so much you can look at in Christian culture. But what we wanted to do was really pick at that, that kind of really strict legalism where you're like, you know, where a lot of people are kind of like, my way of doing church is the only way of doing church, you know?
Yeah.
And my church tradition, you know, is the only way my church tradition has the gospel, you know,
right.
Nobody else does.
We're right. And you're all wrong.
Exactly. And in some sense, you know, Christianity, you know, we kind of believe that in some ways, as far as the gospel, you know, goes, that the gospel is exclusive and Christ is exclusive, but we wanted to really take off the shackles from people that are going through, you know, that whole church culture of like, our way of doing things is the only way, because we wanted to peel that back so people could see, like, you know, God offers us Jesus Christ and he offers us nothing less than that, you know, but he offers us nothing more than that. Like God doesn't convert us and then say, you know, okay, well now you have to become like, now you have to like listen to DC Talk.
Yeah.
Burn all your Dungeons and Dragons material. Cause that's kind of what the gospel has become and had become in Christian culture, is like, not only do you have to believe in Jesus and accept this free gift of salvation that he offers, but now you have to become like a white conservative Republican. Like that's the gospel. You know, I'm not saying any of those things are necessarily bad, but when that becomes equated to the gospel, that's where there's the problem.
Yeah. I like that, man. There's a lot of truth to that. And I think it's funny. And I think as people are able to step into the Father and who God is and how much they're loved, I think they're able to realize that don't get me wrong, I'm all for services and structure and all that stuff. But I think sometimes people get so caught up in the legalism part that it becomes counterproductive. I mean, you trade one thing for another and you're basically trading relationship for legalism, and people don't even realize it. I think, I mean, I've been there and I've seen it, and it's a terrible cycle to get into.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, that's definitely, I think, an accurate picture of what we wanted to say was like, you know, your relationship with Christ. Yes. It's part of it is going to church, and part of it is experiencing Christ and experiencing the Word of God through the preaching of the Word of God at your local church. That's great. That's part of the Christian experience. But, you know, that whatever that tradition is that you're in, like, that's not necessarily, you know, like, you need to be able to distinguish and separate, like, what's the gospel and what's just something that my church likes to do, you know, which is not bad. It's fine. Yeah. But as long as it doesn't go against, you know, the Word of God or anything, that's fine. But don't make that the gospel and don't put that burden on other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so just curious, what was your favorite part about the book, or maybe a chapter or something? What really was kind of a home run for you?
You know, the first like 3 or 4 chapters we wrote so fast, and I think my I think our process was pretty much like I would write most of it and then Adam would go through and add a lot of, you know, great jokes and content, and he did a lot of the graphics and stuff. I think I sat down and wrote like pretty much the first 3 or 4 chapters. I think it was even before we had like a book. I don't even think we had our outline yet. Like I just wanted to write something. And so I started writing this, like, here's a guide to like we kind of pictured this person that doesn't know anything about Christian culture, you know, or maybe just goes to a church or whatever. And it's like, hey, you want to be a perfect Christian? It's like, go find a church, you know, here's what it's going to be like. And we kind of said, like, if you had this, you know, alien from another planet and they didn't know anything about Christianity, like, what would the modern church look like from that perspective? And so it was a lot of fun to kind of take a step back and go and question every little aspect of the worship service and the preaching and, you know, all these little things that we do that we kind of take for granted. And then you're like, whoa, that is kind of weird, you know, that we do that. So yeah, that first like 3 or 4 chapters was just totally natural, just rushed out of us. And then we kind of had to step back and outline it and come up with some more. So
for our listeners right now, I just want to tell you the first couple of chapters are funny. They have great. So it says introduction is, so you want to be a perfect Christian. Chapter 1 is joining the right church. 2 is worship like a pro. And 3 is doing life together. 4 sounds really funny. Serving in church without ever lifting a finger. that one is pretty funny. So I'm going to be transparent here on this one. This is kind of this for me. So for years in church, like, we served like 4 days a week. I literally, my wife and I did it for, I don't know how many years, and got burnt out. And then this last couple years, it's, we go to church and I'm just like, man, just tell me what to do. I tell people Monday through Saturday what to do, how to do it. We run our company. I'm like, I just want to show up. Just tell me what you want. I don't care. I don't want to be in charge of anything. I don't even want to lead a group. I want zero responsibility. Just make me the gopher and I'll do whatever you want. And that's kind of what it's become. And it's, and I'll be honest, if I'm really going to be sit down and analyze that, I say it's kind of a bad mindset, because I'm really gifted to lead and to direct and do stuff. But man, by like Sunday, I'm just like, just tell me whatever you want. I'm willing to do. Just don't make me in charge of anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it takes all kinds. And we, you know, our intention isn't to say like everybody's gotta be at church every day, you know, doing stuff, or else, you know, but at the same time, it's like, there was kind of this whole, and there is kind of this whole culture of like, church is there to serve me, you know, and it's a performance, and I'm just one of the people in the audience. So I'm going to go to the church that offers me the maximum entertainment options, you know, and that's kind of, you know, and it's funny, because it's kind of something that me and my wife have struggled with a little. It's like, I was actually pastoring a church down in San Diego when I was in the construction industry, and I was also leading worship, and we were there every day, and it was kind of this whole thing, you know, and moving, and we moved a couple hours away towards Los Angeles when I took the full-time position to be closer to family and stuff. And, you know, we kind of had this moment of burnout, you know, where it's like, man, we've given so much and we kind of just want to sit, you know. Yeah. We kind of just want to not do anything. And, you know, but then as we kind of started looking at local churches and stuff, it's like, you know, just naturally as a Christian, you start to feel like, man, I should be doing something. You know, I think as churches, we need to be sensitive to, like, people are at different spots, you know, people are at different places, and not to come down too hard as a local church on someone who doesn't necessarily want to do anything right now. But at the same time, it's like, dude, you know, even if you don't want to go like lead a Bible study, or you don't have that gifting, like, go pick up a chair and go fold a chair like that.
Go do something.
Do something. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not here to be served, but to serve. Okay. So let's dive in real quick to the real round. Let's get real around. So Kyle, what do you feel like your biggest strength and gifting is in what you do?
Just the creative process, I think is where I shine, is that whole, like, just coming up with ideas and seeing this vision of, like, in, you know, I have this little kernel of an idea and seeing it through from, you know, the inception of this little idea to, like, this is a finished product, and this is an article that's out there now. This is an idea that's out there. And it's such a fun experience for me.
Love it. Okay. Well, and inside of that, what would you feel like your biggest weakness is?
You know, adjusting to doing what I'm doing has been difficult in that, you know, as an editor and a writer, like, I have to be able to filter, you know, through my ideas and I have to go,
that's hard.
And I have to go, this is hilarious, but this is bad timing, so we're not going to do this. You know, it's you, as a creative person, you have to kill your ideas all day long. You need to murder your children all day long, you know, so that's tough.
Yeah, I bet that is. Okay. What is the biggest thing that you feel like God's stirring inside of you right now?
I would say just, like I was talking about with having grace on people where they're at, you know, it's kind of where my heart's been the last year or two. You know, I think probably I would have been a little harsher on people, you know, when I was younger, and then now kind of as I've transitioned into this role, been through so much and gone through so many trials, it's like, you know, just having grace on people where they're at, I think has been a big thing for me recently.
Sounds like you could write a lot of humor on that, I'm sure.
Oh, definitely.
I love that. Okay. I like to jump into like a resource or anything you can talk about, maybe a recent book you've read or a resource or a life hack or something that you might want to share with our audience. That's been something you maybe stumbled on across recently that was fun for you.
Oh, I don't know what I'm doing, so I can't help there.
Sorry, everybody.
My life hack is I have no idea what I'm doing. No, I'm working from home, and if anybody's working from home, you know it can be a real challenge.
Yes.
So one thing I've been trying to do is pick a time, you know, like 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, whatever the time is that you're done, you know, and just be done and try to turn phones off. Try to turn a cell phone off and try to turn your computer off. And I know it sounds like cheesy or whatever, but, you know, and I've been going on runs in the morning, and it's like, go on a run and turn your phone off. Yeah. For a half hour. And even that, it clears your brain. It clears your headspace. So effectively.
No, seriously. I think that's great advice. That's something my wife and I have struggled with for years, because I come home and then I have homeowners or people calling me or subcontractors up until 8, 9 o'clock at night. And then, you know, my wife's looking at me like, are you seriously going to answer that text or that call? And at some point I just got to put my phone in another room and just say, dude, I'm done. Like, your house, if your house isn't burning down, which I can't fix anyway, you need a fire department, like, it can wait till tomorrow. Okay. Kyle, this is one of my favorite questions, just out of curiosity. If you could go back to the younger you, knowing all the things you've gone through, stepping into kind of what I would call your purpose now, you know, you're writing, came from construction, you've had a lot of stepping stones to get to where you're at now. If you could go back to the younger you, what advice would you give yourself, knowing all the things you're going to go through, but you can't change anything? Just, you're going to give yourself like a pep talk.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that, you know, God is faithful. I think, I don't even know if that's advice, but
no, it's great advice.
That's the truth that I would speak to myself, is God is faithful, and he's not always faithful in this big, in the way that you would expect. Like, it's not like this big, you know, he's going to do this huge miracle and you're going to all of a sudden be out of a tough situation, you know. But he's faithful in these little important ways throughout your day that you don't even see, and throughout your life, and he's directing it, you know, and you're going to look back and go, man, I cannot believe that, It's like, I talk to my wife all the time, like, man, can you believe that we were at that spot, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago, and we just did not know, like, what is going to happen? You
know? Oh, yeah.
And you just, I just, you know, remind myself, hey, everything's going to be okay. God is faithful.
I love those moments, man. They're some of my favorites. So, okay, as we wrap up the show, Kyle, what piece of parting advice would you leave our audience and, like, maybe through your book or some life experience you've gone through?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it would be something similar, like that God is faithful and don't give up. You know, it's you know, again, it sounds cliche, but it's true. As far as from the perspective of what we do at the Babylon Bee, you know, we want people to take God seriously. You know, even though that's a funny thing for me to say as a, you know, we write a humor site, but we want people to take the serious things seriously and the not serious things not so seriously. And I think everybody would be a little happier if we did that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Kyle, for our listeners, where do we find you, your book? How do we connect with you and all the good stuff like that?
Yeah, the best way to keep up with what we're doing is go directly to our website, babylonbee.com. You can pick up the book at our online store there. It's also on Amazon and at bookstores and stuff. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram also. And yeah, that's where most people
check us that's where we check you out. Okay. Well, Kyle, I just want to thank you so much for your time and diving on and sharing your book with us and the humor. I definitely have gotten a kick out of it. So I definitely recommend it to our listeners. And that's about it, man. So I just want to tell you, thank you and honor you so much for taking the time to do this.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. So hold on just a second for after show thoughts. Hey, Roar Nation, love you guys. Thank you. If you guys want some humor, I think sometimes we take Christianity, whatever that looks like, actually so serious and so hard on ourselves that we need humor and we forget to laugh. I know sometimes I do dealing with babysitting grown men all the time in construction. It can make my day rougher than others. So that being said, grab this book. You're going to get some great laughs out of it. I did. Please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps us get us out there. And please share these podcasts with your friends. And if you guys need anything, please reach out to Casey or myself on Facebook or email. We love to respond and we love to hear your thoughts. So love y'all. Remember, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to areyoureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.